when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, that you care. And I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came. Through your precious blood I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came. Through your precious forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Sing that again. I'm forgiven. Well, I'm forgiven because you were. forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. Now I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. That's amazing love, amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'll honor you. See that again? Amazing love. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'll honor you. Tell him you are my King, and you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. That's amazing love, amazing love. That you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. One more time, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. Lord Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, amazing love. I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all.
Say with your mouth, Lord, in all I do, I will honor you, Father. We do just have one testimony here, amen. It says, I want to wish my baby girl, Ashley, a wonderful birthday tomorrow. She has been such a blessing to us. Happy birthday, Ashley, Kate. Love, Mom and Dad. So, amen. Let's just give her a round of applause. Amen. For her birthday. Amen. And we do not have any prayer requests that I know of, but we will be having, just a reminder here, they put up here, it's kind of late putting up, but they'll be having meetings down in Lima there at Bible Believers Camp. This Friday and Saturday at 7 o'clock. We'll post the details back there. Brother Aaron McGeary will be preaching back down there. So, and we do have one, since we'll be having the rally in the alley here, we'll be having prayer here on Friday, but we're going to be having a fellowship at Brother Dustin's house at 6:30. Just ask that you bring finger foods or snacks or whatever you want to bring. So see the deacons for any other details. But at Brother Dustin and Sister Betsy's house at 6:30. So I think that's all that we have. Amen. Just going to ask Brother Simon to come lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. Also for the tithes and the offerings. Good to have them back safe and sound and home. Amen.
Praise God. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God, Lord. Lord, we thank you for another time, Lord. We're coming together, God, Lord. And Lord, as a husband would come home from work every day, God, to see his wife and his family, Lord God, Lord, just a reunion there, God, Lord, and here, Lord, we're coming, Lord, to your house, God, Lord, to see you, Lord Jesus,
yes,
Lord, to
Lord,
worship you, Lord God, and to draw close to you, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, just, Lord, let us get our hearts so soft, Lord, that we
yes,
can receive
Lord.
The word of God, Lord, and Lord, just continue to open our eyes, God, keep us focused, God, on this hour, Lord, we see things happening, God, and Lord, though it's creeping on real slow, but Lord Jesus, we see it, God, Lord, and we just always want to be ready, Lord, and watching, Lord, and waiting, God, Lord, for we don't want to be the ones, Lord, in the scripture where it says that they said our the husband delayeth his coming, God, Lord. But Lord, we want to be ready, just set aside for your service, God, Lord, just living it the best we can, God, witnessing to everyone we can, God, Lord. And Lord, we just want to be led by the Spirit, God, and just bless our sister, God, Lord, turn another year, Lord, and just bless her, God. And Lord, just be with us, Lord, just bless the tithes and offerings. We love you so much. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Let's just sing that song, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me, amen. Amen. How many can say that at a midweek service, amen. Lord, Lord, you've surely been good to me. No matter how hard the work weeks went, no matter how hard anything's been, he's been good to you, amen. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, you saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh yes, you filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Well, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. Hallelujah! Well, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not. Oh, Lord, Lord. Well, Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me. Well, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Well, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Done what this world. Why don't we sing that again? Why don't you greet your neighbor? Oh, now, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Well, Lord, Lord.
Ghost. Oh, yes, you filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You filled me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not. You healed my body. Oh, yes, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. This world could not. Oh, Lord, Lord. Well, Lord, Lord, Lord. You've surely been good to me.
Song, can't nobody do me like Jesus, amen. How many can say with an upraised hand, there's no one that can do you like the Lord, amen. Nothing that anybody can give you, no money that anybody could be to you, amen. No friend anybody could be to you, amen. Nobody can do you like Jesus.
Well, can't nobody hold you me like Jesus? Can't nobody hold you me like the Lord? Well, can't nobody. Jesus is my friend. Can't nobody hold to me like Jesus. Can't nobody hold to me like the Lord. Well, can't. Oh, do me like the Lord. me to run on. He filled me with the Holy Ghost, and He told me to run on. He is my friend. Can nobody up to me like Jesus. Can't nobody up to me like the Lord. Can't nobody up to me like Jesus. He's mine. One more time. Can't nobody up to me like Jesus.
Oh, burdens down, Lord, sin. Hallelujah. Good to be in the house of God this evening. Amen. Something about that Holy Ghost. Can't explain it. One thing we know, we got it. Amen. I'm going to jump right into the Word of God this evening. Good to see everyone able to make it tonight. Amen. By the grace of God, it's a privilege and an honor to be here tonight. Amen. For those who are here on Sunday, we're going to work with the same direction again. I say this, it's not a very fun message, but by the inside of the insides says that this is what you need to be. Amen? And by the grace of God, we worked with the mature church on Sunday. Amen. Those who aren't here, might be a blessing to get that. We'll kind of maybe just do a touch of recapping just so everyone's on the same page, and I'd like to start working in the same direction again. And by the grace of God, we'll jump right into the Bible at this point in time. Let's go to, if we could, 1 Corinthians 3:1. Got a lot of everything tonight. I got a lot of scriptures. Got a lot of quotes. We'll just go where we feel the Lord leads us, because I can basically guarantee I will not get done with this again. We're just at the place where we just want to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Not interested in being a theologian. Not interested in being somebody. I just want to be a nobody. Amen. Pray that's your desire tonight as well. 1 Corinthians 3:1. After that, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14:40. 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now notice, he didn't say that they weren't Christians. They're still Christians. Second verse says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Now, how interesting would it be if ministers would take the same approach Paul did, and when he seen a church that did not have a perfect order, amen, he wouldn't preach anything but milk. Amen. Wasn't that just what was read? Amen. Third verse, "For ye are yet carnal." Did he say they were stupid? Did they say that they have learning disabilities? No, the issue wasn't any of those things, any natural thing that you could think of. It was just the fact that they were carnal. "For whereas there is among you envy and strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" 1 Corinthians 14:40. First Corinthians 14:40, it says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you tonight, God. And Lord, you know, God, that even your prophet said this perfectly ordered church, God, this mature church, Lord, was the thing that he'd always desired to see, oh God. And Lord, here we are in 2014, God, well past the new millennium, God, and now moving further into deeper, darker, more perilous times, God. And Lord, our desire tonight, O God, as we see, O God, Israel encompassed all around them, God, as we see, O God, that something's got to break somewhere. We realize in looking at that natural form, God, that, Lord, there's a spiritual form, Lord. It needs to be touched here tonight, God. As far as we're looking at a bride, God, I believe when we look at each other in this room, we say bride, God. Lord, though we see imperfections, God, though we see, oh God, failures around everyone, even ourselves, God, even myself, God, Lord, here we are desiring, Lord, to see this spiritual bride shine forth in her brightness, God. We just ask now, Lord, that you just take this service, God. Lord, preach your word, God. And Lord, I pray that you'd allow everything that needs to be said, God. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you'd bind my mouth right now, Lord, and allow this mouth to be used as a microphone for your precious voice, God. That's what we want to hear tonight, oh God. Lord, we don't want any of their minds involved. We don't want my mind involved, God. We want the mind of Christ to have full preeminence tonight, God. Lord, I believe, oh God, and I feel like I'm led to preach this because of this is right where we're at, God. And Lord, I believe that we all, as a church, we have to, as individuals, decide if we're willing to take a corner or not. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, you will take a corner with your church, God. We want to be ready. Help us, God. Forgive us for our weaknesses and our failures, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. The bride says, Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. You don't have to if you don't want to. Just simply for a title this evening, we're just going to give it The Mature Church Part 2. Amen? Like I said, we'll do a little bit of recapping, and perhaps we'll take even Sunday's thought maybe just a little bit further this evening, and we'll see where God will bring us around to. And wherever He wants us, that's where we want to be. Amen? So I would have to say that I covet your atmosphere tonight. I cover whatever you can give me. I want us to take the mindset. I said this Sunday, and I'll probably say it different because I don't remember how I said it. But yet, I want us to take a mindset this evening is that we're all sitting here imperfect within our flesh, and yet we'll probably never be fully perfect in our flesh standard until we get our glorified bodies. But yet, we want to allow the Holy Spirit to have preeminence, the full sovereignty that He can in us. Have in us as individuals. Amen? So I want us to just take this mindset that when we're preaching, we're talking about this church right here. We're talking about what we need to do as a local body to move on. Amen? And we pray that God is not just touching this local body, but He's also anointing others to come into the same realm that we are because we believe that we have the Word of God. Amen? So by the grace of God, we'd like to work with the mature church this evening. Now, for recapping, of course, I'm going to do a little bit of this, and then maybe read a couple quotes, and then we're going to try to start running. But by the grace of God, we work with Sunday. We are working with the mature church. And, of course, in the Bible, it gives us, so to say, a little portfolio of epistles. And within these epistles, within these writings that we find in the New Testament, past Acts, we find the Church of Corinth, we find the Church of Rome, we find Ephesus, we find Galatians, we find Philippi, if you'd like to say it that way. And by the grace of God, we find a lot of churches that Paul actually writes letters to, and they were found and put as canon in the Bible. Amen? And because of God ordaining these things and allowing them to be made known the way they were, God, there was a message that God wanted us to catch in there that would be very beneficial to us, right? And this evening, as we begin to, so to say, move into this, remember, we're working with a mature church. Amen? So to catch us all up, what is maturity? Maturity, according to Webster's 1828, it is ripe. Amen? It is perfected by time or natural growth. Amen? So notice when any fruit would come forth, that fruit actually goes through a stage where it is completely immature. And if you want to guess if that's true or not, all you have to do is pick it unripe. And you'll find out that that is not ripe. It is not tasty. It is not at its full season. It is actually something imperfect. Amen. But what that fruit needs is not to just be changed into a different fruit, but it actually just needs more time to become what it needs to be as far as ripe. Amen. So when we look at a mature church is something that it does not start that way, but yet it actually takes time to what? To become in its position. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice here, it also means as a man of a mature age. We apply it to a young man of a mature age. We apply it to a young man who has arrived to the age when he is supposed to be competent to manage his own concerns. So what is a mature church? It would be perfectly paralleled to competency. Amen? So if we would be a mature church, we would be a competent church. Competent as in how? In our programs. Would that be our competence? Well, it could be in a smaller manner. But we understand that the only competence that God is looking for is a church completely yielded to Him. Amen. Because what true competence is can only come from God, which means that you have to be incompetent to allow God to become competent in you. Perfect strength is what? Manifested by perfect weakness. So who is the weakest among us? We should be having a debate right now. But we don't want to be known as weak, even though the greatest servants of God to ever be known in this age of this earth have been what? Weak people. Amen. Like I said, give me as much atmosphere as you can. I know this ain't fun. But yet it says here, it says they're able to manage their own concerns. So notice with a mature church, even according to Hebrews 5, like we read, that a church, the individuals need to be mature. You cannot have a mature church without mature individuals. Amen. So notice, you have to what? You have to have your senses exercised. Amen. You have to have experience in being a Christian to become a mature Christian. So that doesn't just mean that you live on the mountain. You go through the bad. You go through the even worse than bad. And then somehow, when it rains, it pours, it done did it again. And yet you find yourself, what? Learning God's grace. Learning God's perfection in your life. In so much as the fact is, it actually perfects you. Your confidence in God is perfected. Oh, hallelujah. This is a jumper and a shouter if you can catch it. Because this is what we need to be. Oh, hallelujah. So notice here it says, lastly, it says, it also, as we said what a young man is as far as ripe, it says also to a young woman who is fit to be married. So the parallel to a mature woman is one ready to be married. So she is fully ready to submit to headship. Amen. So notice here, it says, lastly, to elderly men who have much experience. Like I said, I just want to start breaking this in again to us. Now notice here, in the Bible, and moving on, we want to look at maturity and immaturity. Amen? So we can find out what we need to be as a church, okay? Because I'll say this is unacceptable. Yes, I said it again. Hallelujah! If I'm entering a construction zone tonight, I guess I better put these on just in case something gets thrown at my eyes. Amen. These aren't very clean. But we see, church, that by the grace of God, that you are expected to be a worker for God. You are expected to be ready to marry God. You are expected to possess the Spirit of God within your vessel, in purity, in righteousness, in everything that God has to offer. It needs to express out of you. That's why your dependence can never go to leaning on a bishop or leaning on a man. Amen. But it has to be fully matured in Christ. Amen. So notice here, We look in the New Testament and we find, of course, in our message, we find preciously given that you can see a mature church and an immature church very well within the Bible. Amen? And we understand that these two churches are Ephesus and Corinth. Amen? So when we look into the Bible, you can look in the Corinthians and see an immature church, and you can see a mature church in Ephesus. Amen. Now, I want us to notice here, if we could, because I want you to see that there's a reason why God has done the things that He's done. There's a reason why this revelation come forth in 65. Right? Throughout the whole message, and then it brings out what it really is at the very end time. Amen. Now, notice here, in working with Ephesians, I'd like to read a few things comparing Ephesus and Corinth. God keeps His Word. In 57, I read this last time, but I know we need to hear it again because I know you can't quote it back to me. It says, did you notice in the Bible a few minutes ago, Paul didn't have any trouble with the church of Ephesus. They were scholars. They were men who understood. But his trouble wasn't with the Roman church, and he exalts them before God and talks of their faith. But the trouble he had was with Corinth. What is the majority? As far as, basically, if you look into it, what is the biggest book as far as pointing to? Corinthians. Amen? You almost have 30 chapters dedicated to Corinth. How many is dedicated to Ephesus? 6. Amen? So notice here, he says, Corinth was the place that he had trouble, for they could not take the word. So anytime a church cannot take the word, they're showing that they are an immature church. Amen. So notice, in this hour, because the Word has been revealed, you will find immaturity come at an all-time, what? High level. Because the Word is making this one, what? The right church at a higher level. And what the immature church brings forth the fruit of Laodicea. Amen. Amen. In so much as the fact they don't even have the blood of God on them. Amen. There's churches right in this message. Cities, can't we see it? But we have a word. But what are you doing with the word that you get? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't need to listen to another minister. You got your own ministry. Amen. Amen. If you can't look at the ministry, that shows you're not feeding off of God's plan for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice that Corinth, they couldn't take the word. Each one wanted a sensation, said, why is it when you come together, one's got a tongue psalm, one's got this and that and this, some kind of a sensation. He said, you're believers, but you're not established. So, remember, as we told you last time, that Corinth was a church that Paul said, God come to him and told him that there was many seed there. But yet we look at Ephesus and they had 12 men. Big church, small church. So a small church should be able, by design of God, to become mature. Oh, hallelujah. It says, now you know Paul wouldn't have preached things to the Corinthian church and come back and preach to the Ephesian church something else. And the church of Thessalonians something else. He preached the same gospel everywhere. But the Ephesian church, he could speak to them some of the great mysteries God had revealed to him down in Arabia. He could preach predestination to them. He couldn't preach that to the Corinthian church. Why? they still had to, if they didn't have oil running out of their hands or some kind of sensation or something or other, they wouldn't believe what the Word said. They had to have a tongue or a psalm or some kind of a little sign or something. But Paul couldn't preach solid doctrine to them. Now notice here, what was Corinth's problem? Emotions. So notice, they had in their initial, what? Receivings of God's Spirit. There were Christians there with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus said there's much seed there. Meaning what? Much bride. A lot of bride. Sure, probably a few foolish too. But notice, it was God's way of revealing a truth. Now notice, if we can see this, how did Corinth start off then? Was Paul challenging them and saying, you don't even have a Holy Ghost, you don't even have, you never even received it. They received it, but they were not maturing with what God had given them. Oh, hallelujah. So I want you to catch a picture in your mind as we go through this tonight. Corinthians had problems with the Word because they couldn't get the emotions to be balanced with the Word. They couldn't take the order of God. They wanted sensation to rule them. But how did they start out? They received the same thing that they did in the upper room. Why do you think I'm saying what I'm saying? How are we to have a different experience? How are we to say that we're in Ephesians church when we didn't even start out like Corinth? Well, it's restoration, brother. Well, we better get some restoring going on then, huh? Ha 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 ha! Just making sure. So notice here, they could not take the Word. Oh, hallelujah. I've been preaching gifts in the church since it started. If the gifts are still not here, what are you showing? You can't take the Word. But we want to dig. Now, here's what, I'm not trying to make some comparison. We are a local assembly, sovereign of ourselves. We don't need anybody else's help. God is the Holy Ghost here. We have the ability to respond to Him, to follow Him. I know, don't you like my new specs? And we have the ability to what? To be ordered by God Himself here. Do you realize that Corinthians had Paul visit? Ephesus had Paul visit. He wasn't on phone all the time. This is one letter. And with the Holy Ghost that they were given, they were able to order the church without Paul being there the whole time. So notice here, we find out that there are some issues here. Church order 63, 12, 26, 48. It says, now Paul never one time had to tell those Ephesian church anything about that. They were in order. The Roman church, or none of the other churches, only the Corinthian church. So what? He says the Ephesian church was in order. They were in order. They were in order when he was writing a letter to them. They didn't need Paul there to be in order. Well, I need Brother Branham. I need this preacher or that preacher. You don't need nobody except for what God placed here. You know what you need? You need Jesus Christ. You need to watch. Move with the Word. You have to take the Word. You have the choice at the end of this sermon. You have the choice right now. Will you receive the Word? Or will you just stay where you're at? Amen. So notice, he said, now Paul believed in speaking in tongues. He had speaking in tongues in the Ephesians church.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I said this last time. I know it's a little recapping. There's some new stuff coming out when I'm preaching, though, so I hope you catch it.
Amen.
That's how the Spirit of God works. He makes sure everybody gets something new. But notice here, he said that Ephesians already had the gifts in order. We have message people that say, oh, the Ephesians church didn't lean on the gifts. They were mature. They had the Word. That's a lie of the devil. Amen. Ephesus was different than Corinth because everything Paul had to tell Corinth, they got in order by the Holy Ghost. That's the type of church we want to be. You want people to stick around? Then get in order. Get the Holy... Oh, hallelujah. I ain't talking about just loving your brother. I'm talking about getting with Christ. Getting some time with God. Getting some affection for Christ. Getting in line, sacrificing so that you make sure that your name is on that book. Oh, we say, oh, my name's on the book. We need to act like it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So now, notice here. So Paul could deliver deep word to Ephesus because Ephesus had everything in order.
Right?
So all this deep stuff that everyone's preaching, we should be waiting until the church is in order to do those things. First Corinthians 1:10. Oh, my favorite scripture. Some of you should have this memorized by now. First Corinthians 1:10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. What was going on in Corinth? There's no unity. They had enough unity to get the emotion there. But after the emotion come in, they went wild. Because remember, what? Everyone had a psalm. Everyone had a doctrine. Everyone had a revelation. Everyone had what? They had an interpretation. Everybody had a tongue. It was a big church. What do you expect? Oh, I'd love to get some tongues going tonight. Well, you could. You just got in order. So notice, you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions amongst you. Now, what is he telling Corinthians here? Remember, Corinth is not mature. So what is Paul needing to do? He's needing to blast them. Now, we read this in the Bible. You say, that's the word. But what about when I look every one of you right in the face, every single one of you, and I say, you're not saying the same thing. I look you right in the face and say, can you guys quit having division? Come on. Won't you be perfectly joined with one another in the same mind? You can have the same mind. You can have the same judgment. Oh, come on. Some of you begin to look at me. Wait a minute. That's just what Paul told an immature church. I'm sorry to break it to you, but we're immature. Those are the most nods yes I ever got. You must really love God. Can I just look at everybody? I did once. See how comfortable I'm getting? I took my glasses off. Because I know you know I love you. So now notice, so Paul rebukes them in 1 Corinthians 1 says, okay, all these things, you're just not mature at all. You're like babies. And then he comes back in 1 Corinthians 3 and says, I can't really give you any strong meat because you're still carnal. You still like to sin a lot. You really don't like being consecrated to Jesus Christ. You really haven't fully dedicated yourself to His work. This is an immature church. But notice, we find that in Ephesians 4, 1, this is the big negative that I'm finding. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Oh, what a rebuker. He's tearing Ephesus up. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice this. This is what I want you to catch. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So notice, he blasts Corinthians and says, you don't love each other. You don't say the same things. You have division everywhere. And here he looks at Ephesus and says, oh, and by the way, can you endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit? They already had the unity of the Spirit. So Paul's exhortation to them was keep on pressing to keep that unity. You're mature. You're in order. Keep going. It's looking great. Now let me ask you, if that was getting preached to you, would that make you happy? Or would that make you sit down on God in the church?
Come on, brother.
It wasn't God's fault to begin with. But these people, I bet it just gave them more pump. Gave more push. Because why? Because they had such a unity and such an order of the Spirit that the only thing Paul had to tell them was endeavor to keep it.
Amen.
Well, that's what we want.
Amen.
That's what we have to have.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have to get serious about this. Are we part of Living Waters Tabernacle or are we not? I need to make that decision. You need to make that decision. This ain't something you sit there and wonder. But we have to have what? A desperation to move forward.
Amen.
We don't have much time.
Amen.
But the devil throws every Laodicean trap right at you. Every single Laodicean trap he got, he's whipping at you. And we're sitting here and say, yep, I'll just pray later. Yep, I'll just read later. Yes, I'll just make that right later. And what? We suffer ourselves to be defrauded by the devil. Yes, Satan, I think I'll just sit back and take one for you again. Huh? We really want to do that? Now, notice here, so we find that the Ephesians church had everything in order. They were mature. Okay? But yet we look at Corinthians and we find that they weren't mature. Now, I want you to see this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:7. Verse 9. Well, let's see. 12:7. 1 Corinthians 12:7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. What? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to you to profit you. When God fills an individual with the Holy Ghost, there is a demonstration of the Spirit that God wants to release from that individual. Now, what church is this? It's the immature church. Now, here's what I want you to see. What was Paul doing in this letter? Putting them in order. Meaning what? That they already had these things there. Right? Hallelujah! The immature church had this going on. Oh God, I want a deeper word. We ought to be saying, God, Lord, let your Spirit control me a little bit here. Lord, can I just yield myself to you just a little bit? Will you take this, Lord? Because the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, was given to manifest, to make itself known in you. It will do that in an immature body just as much as it will in a mature body. The only difference is the mature people have already yielded to God to a level that they're able to be ripe with the Spirit of God that was given to them. Church, the Spirit of God was made to manifest in you. It is made to manifest in you from the day you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Although creeds and dogmas of this message, whatever you've come up with, they are absolute lies of the devil. We should see a living witness of the Holy Ghost every day of our lives. So, if these things have not been manifesting in your life, what's it showing? It's showing that you have been led in a path false to where you need to go. Now, I want you to understand this. Do you realize that Paul had to set the church of Corinth in order with even communion? We got to memorize, don't you? Every time your pastor starts communion, what do I read? 1 Corinthians 11. Right? If I'm feeling like giving you something, I start the 23rd verse. Sometimes I start earlier if I want to get that division thing in there. But that was there because they had no ability to maintain any order at all.
Amen. Yeah.
Yet they were given the Holy Ghost.
Right.
So what's our problem? Are you ready? I ain't getting very far tonight. But that's okay because I want you to be rebuked. I want you to be tore up. I want me to be tore up. I want us to decide how serious we want to be with God. We can all sit here and continue to be a Laodicean church if you'd like. Life's good. Life's fun. How fun? I'm talking to the seat of God now. How fun could your life be without manifesting the unity of God and your soul joined together perfectly? You were made to make known Jesus Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Until you reach that level, that's why a lot of us are pretty miserable with religion. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying, you're not satisfied with your relationship with God at all. And so much, a lot of times we condemn ourselves or even believe that we're going to fail. Why is that? A lot of us, it might be kind of based towards the law, but in all honesty, you're miserable because you have not lived to the calling that you were made to live. Now here, these are things that we don't think about. So here Paul is going to put an immature church in order. Now, let me ask you something. If Paul come here tonight and he said, okay, I want every one of you to get this right, what would you be saying? I'll tell you what most of us would be saying. I really don't know which one I have. Let's go. 1 Corinthians 12:7, 8. It says, for to one is given the Spirit, given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. Now don't raise your hand. How many of you have identified by the Spirit that you have the word of wisdom? This is a gift to the church. These gifts are made to keep the church in order. That's why God has placed them on the church. So how many, by the Spirit, have caught that this is what God has given them to help the body? To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. A lot of us sit here and say, yeah, I know everything. But it has to be by the Spirit. How many of us can have a revelation that our knowledge is completely given and brought forth by the Holy Spirit? This is benefiting the church. I ain't talking about cars after church or deer or whatever you talk about. Notice, to another, faith by the same Spirit. How many have been able to say, and not even to brag, but say, yep, God has given me, by His Spirit, a great faith to help the body in the church? I say, what's your gift? Mine's faith. You say that humbly, you say that meekly, because you know it's not even you, it's the Holy Spirit to begin with. Anybody feeling rebuked yet? I just got one too. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Well, I think we've all recognized that we don't have that gift. We've seen it work on a small level, but what is the real level it's supposed to work at, church? Come on. I'm talking about 10 years ago. This is a gift. I understand a gift can work one time. But don't we like to focus on that a little bit too much? Well, I got my one gift out of the way. There's, I'm done. But how many have recognized that God answers their prayers in healing? You see? Here we are. We are so immature. That we either fully do not associate with these, or we fully have no clue what we have. And we say, oh, the message, we all got it. Look at the picture with the five big dogs on it. And this is what we have to offer God? A complete lack of maturity. We say, I'm ready to make a rapture. We're so far away from the rapture, we've got to have something kicking gear. Do I need to keep reading these? Can't quit yet? This really hurts. Good, good. Yeah, I know. I feel completely rebuked. To another, the working of miracles. You know what you say? You talk to message people. We'll say, well, you just say that the gifts of the Spirit aren't in the church because tongues and prophecy isn't there. Huh? It's just a Laodicean speech people give. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. To another, the working of miracles. Ooh, that's me. You Pentecostals. To another, prophecy. So notice this. 99% of the message. You know, these people who say, well, all those spiritual gifts are already there. You're just basing that on prophecy and tongues. And yet the only two that I can really see really anybody even qualifying for is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. But they know their message. They know God sent a prophet. Oh, they know their Bibles. Where's the faith? Where's the gifts of healing? Where's the working of miracles? To another, prophecy. Remember, your prophet said, if you were in unity, these would be multiplying all the time. So for anyone to say that they're fulfilling the other ones, they are absolutely disillusioned. They're delusional. I'm a realist. When I see something, I say, that's real. When I catch something and I really see it, that's real. I can sit there and look just right at it. And I can figure it out. Because I have a great gift of discernment. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. I just went through 9 spiritual gifts. How many do we see operating in this church? Well, I might have a word of wisdom. You tell me God gave you something and you don't have a clue what it is? Looks like I better start preaching repentance again. The question I ask you, is this your goal or is this not your goal? Because if this is not your goal, this is not where you belong. To me, this is the message. I'm saying that to everybody. Understand what I'm saying? I'm saying this for me. If I'm preaching this, I believe it. But you know what? I just really need a big kick. Amen. And you need a big kick. You just got a little kick tonight. Amen. Praise God. Don't thank me. Just thank the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen, Lord. So here we see that even in the most immature of immature churches, they were able to manifest the Spirit, which is the simplicity of saying they were able to yield to the presence of God. What is Spirit and truth? Truth. Truth of the Word. Boy, that's difficult. I know. Stay with me if you can. And what is the Spirit, though? What is the Spirit? Is God real? Yes. He has a Spirit. If God is going to manifest that Spirit, what is His biblical design for allowing that Spirit to manifest? You. When the Father is seeking such that worship Him in spirit and truth, He's looking for someone that can stay with the Word, but that can fully stay yielded to Him. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? I am more worried of our yielding abilities than things being right and wrong sometimes. Okay? If things are manufactured, we can deal with that. If we're becoming mature Christians. Because a mature Christian can handle a rebuke from a pastor. That's the message all the way through. So here's the thing. Do I hate you because I rebuke you? Do I hate you because I correct you? Do I hate myself because I correct myself? Do you hate yourself when you see you sin and you make it right? You don't hate yourself. So why do you hate the pastor? Why do you hate your brother or sister when they try to correct? Yeah, I didn't get very far at all again. Oh, yeah, I did. I got really far. Because if you can catch it tonight, this is immature. Any place where this is not manifesting is immature by the Scripture. Amen. By the Word of God. Right. Well, the quote says, no. You are a Branhamite. You need to get to the Word of God. Amen. So notice, 11th verse, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit. So you realize you could have one of these, two of these, three of these, right? Luther had all of them. Almost every messenger had every single of the nine gifts manifesting out of them. How many are you meant to have manifest? Zero? No. God doesn't love me. No. I'm servancy. No. You have been left in an area where you haven't responded to the Word. I haven't even responded very well to the stuff I preach. I'm proving that. The message ministers, they don't even preach it to begin with, so who cares about that, right? God help them. What's the bigger shame? When you got a blind leader of the blind, or you got the truth preached right to you and you don't respond to it? Because it was the Corinthian church that wouldn't take the Word. You know what a lot of those message churches need to see? A church in order. Who's going to argue with that? The Spirit of God was so strong there. Right? Hey, when we first started out, we got real popular, didn't we? Just because we could have good revival meetings. Until. Okay. But do you realize what was attracting? You were able to get the Spirit manifesting. At least on a meeting level. Oh, yeah, you know. What if you could get that operating every service? Tell me. Would we have everybody missing church and everybody skipping church and everyone not coming to prayer meetings and everybody doing this and doing that? No, you'd want to be here. So whoever wants that here, you're right on the same page. We got something going on. So notice, but all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to just a couple man, dividing to just one man, dividing to every man, every. So everybody, a revelation of what your gift is in the Spirit. It's your own destiny. It's your own choice to seek that out. It's your own desire to be closer to God. Could be a lot of message, people, not going to this rapture. Because I'm telling you, God is looking for individuals that are mature. And He's got a couple mature churches out there too. I prefer to be a mature church, not just a mature individual. Now, oh, Lord. So notice here, very quickly. I'm going to keep on blasting this, okay? Ephesians Church Age book, part chapter 3. I think it's 67:1, I think is what it is. It says, the promise of power with which the apostles were endued at Pentecost is to you, Jews, and to your children, Jews, and to all that are afar off, Gentiles, and to as many as the Lord our God shall call, both Jew and Gentile. Until He stops calling, the Pentecostal message and power will not cease. Well, the prophet said that. That is what the Bible says. I just got done talking to my boss about sensationalism. I think I said that here a month or two ago. And they believe that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer in the church because through the course of history, the church died off from that state. It's called sensationalism. Something like that. Cessationalist, something like that. Cessationalism. So basically, they're calling the Word of God wrong because the people are too far from God to manifest the Word. You will have to understand that you can either be the bride or you can be a sensationalist. If I got this wording right. So notice, but the power of the Spirit, it will not cease until the last soul's called. So where's the power right now? It's in you. It's laying dormant. Because certainly we can look and say, I have a gift. This is your first big chance to raise your hand and say, I've got a gift. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. I needed that. 67-2 says, what the church had at Pentecost is her inalienable right. When you look into the book of Acts, when you look into Corinthians, God left them immature so He could anoint Paul to get them in order so that you could come back and see what you're supposed to have. Right? So, you're an alienable right. Is this your inalienable right tomorrow? Yes, it is tomorrow. Is it your inalienable right till the rapture? Absolutely. My question is it your inalienable right now? So if this is a right, and you're not expressing your right, it shows you're what? You're not free. You're captive. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. We ought to get the Holy Ghost working like the Acts church right here. And you'll be saying the same thing. This ain't about a race, color, creed. This is about expressing your seed. Your inalienable right is to manifest the book of Acts. There's no reason why you shouldn't or can't do it. There's not one reason why you can't do that tonight if you want it. Originally, she had the pure Word of God. Catch that. The Word was pure. So notice, the bride hasn't had a revival yet. She hasn't had a stirring yet. It'll take those seven unknown thunders to wake her up. And when she gets rid of her creeds and dogmas and begins to plead the promise, the Word will become effective to them. I've read that quote a lot. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm joking. So you have come back to the original Word, which means that your rights have been exposed. You understand that. Basically, what Azusa Street was a church that had a revealed amount of word to them, and they could only express that. Methodist, they had sanctification revealed to them. They could express that. When the message come back, it revealed the original Word. So, the original Word takes you back to Ephesus.
Amen. That's right, brother.
She had the pure Word of God. She had the power of the Spirit manifested in diverse signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Ghost. That's your right. That you're right, even if you're immature or you're not ripe. Notice, jumping down, that original church was not organized by men. Oh, let me read this above. God also bearing them witness both of signs and wonders and diverse miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, according to His own will. The original church was not organized by men. It was led by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't very big. It was hated and despised. It was oppressed. It was persecuted unto death. But it was true to God. It stayed with the original word pattern. Almost done. Do you mind if I read you maybe one or two more? Paradox 61, 1210, 255. I've often wanted to come into a church. I've longed to see it. I guess where I could walk in the back door, front door, wherever it was, and look across an audience and see a perfect church all in order. Sin couldn't stay there. No, the Spirit would call it out. You see, it just couldn't stay. Like Ananias and Sapphira, you just couldn't do it. There'd be no sin in that group. No, sir. See, the Spirit quickly speak it like that. This is a church in order. And we got all these message people, oh, we're ready for the rapture. Oh, God, you're going to call us away. And in the mature church, yes, that versus the original church, the mature church, when you get in the mature church, sin can't even enter into the church. That's Living Waters Tabernacle. Isn't that what you want here? Don't you... Let me say it like this. We say, oh no, I'm going to get called out. Don't you want to get called out? Wouldn't that be awesome? Can you agree with me? Would that not be awesome? If I come in here and I was doing something that wasn't right, or you were, and you didn't know it, and the Holy Ghost caught right out, wouldn't that be awesome? A lot of us are thinking, but what if I do know it? Yeah, and that's why we continue to sit here like this. So notice, there'd be no sin in that group. No matter what it was, how little it would be done. See, women, men, sitting there under the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what I want. The Spirit of God moving perfectly. Moving this. Someone had done something wrong in the congregation. Couldn't they come quickly and confess it before the Spirit got a hold of it. To confess it before and come tell it, because they know right, then it's going to be called out. It's going to be called, that's right. That's the church of the living God. How my old, poor old heart, now it's getting old, how I've longed to stand and see a church like that. He never even seen it. There he was, the power of the former reign pouring out. And the church couldn't be perfectly in order. Why? Because the original word had to come back. It was made for you. There's quotes in 65, he said, still not in order. So notice how I've longed to stand and see a church like that. I may yet. I hope to. Perfect works of God without sin now that could understand. God, I want a perfect work in my life. I want to be mature. Isn't that your desire? Okay, one more. 250-2, Sardesian Church Age, Church Page, Book 7. This is all scriptural stuff, but I'd like to read the quote so you can see how really true this is. Now, I've read this to you before, but I really believe that we need to stir it up. Catch your little remembrance here. I'm going to move halfway down the quote. It says again, the Scripture says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus went away. He told His disciples to tarry until Pentecost, at which time the very same Spirit that was upon Him would come back and fall upon them and fill them. Then that called out body, the church, would be in His stead upon the earth. Do you realize what "in His stead" means? You would look just like Him. Taking His place. And because that same Spirit that was in Him would be in them, they would do the very same works. And any people that is truly the body of Jesus Christ, the true church, will manifest the same works as did Jesus and the Pentecostal church, because the same Spirit will be in them. I think we're immature. And any other church, notice this, that does not have the Spirit and the manifestations is going to have to account to God. Do you realize the bride doesn't have to give account? They're on the throne at judgment. But there's going to be a lot of churches that don't have this order instilled in their church. And yes, they will go into the tribulation period. And they will have to make an account to God for their actions. Meaning what? If they have to make an account to God, it means that they could have done it. And they have to answer why they didn't. Anybody trying to figure out what they're going to say? Anybody? Yeah, I know this is where we get quiet. We better start letting some gears turn up here. Because there ain't going to be no bride. I know there'll be individuals, but you know what? They will be manifesting the Spirit of Christ. But like I said, I'm looking for a church. A mature church. I believe I'm going to have one. I believe I'm going to be one of the mature people in it. Nice vote of confidence. Thank you. Let's stand. So that sounds like a fine place to end. Musicians can come forward. Very fine place to end. You see, the manifestations of the Spirit is not optional. It is a necessity. If you're satisfied with what you're expressing in God, you show that we have some very separate visions. But kind of catching on to how quiet we were tonight, it would appear more to me that we are more on the same page, that we really need to start getting a little bit more serious with God here at the coming of the Lord. Because a lot of us do agree that the coming of the Lord certainly could be tomorrow by the looks of it. Could be next week. It's really, really going to be very soon. Do you want God to push you through a pipe? Do you want God to force everything on you? He gave you a free will so that you could exercise love to God from a free moral standard. He doesn't want to force you to love Him. He wants you to do it by your own desire. The problem? We have too many hobbies. We have too many houses. We got too many projects. We got too many fun things to do. When ultimately you were made to have fun with God. Do you want a God that can turn you from what you are right now to someone who can go from house to house, breaking bread and talking about the Word every day? Do you want to be the type of church that can literally really manifest God this way? It's pretty simple when we really look at what we got going on. We can stay right where we're at. Take our chances. See how it pans out. Just think about it. Is there a reason why this sermon was preached tonight? Is it just because Brother Cam has just got some sort of a mindset? Is it, yeah, this is just what Brother Cam does? Or do you know God enough that you can say, God actually come and spoke to me tonight? He was trying to tell me something. I usually forget about that. But maybe tonight, in a sincere way, I'd like to express that to God. Say, God, I really do believe that I'm lacking here. I really believe I'm a hindrance to this church. I'm a hindrance to the body of Christ. I have to manifest this. And I know how to do it. I have to work something up. I have to go pray for a gift to come on. I have to get with Christ. All of us can say, I don't want to manufacture something. I know you think that. How can you not manufacture it? By getting with Christ. He's the only one that can manifest His life on you. But you have to be willing to cry out for it and be willing to yield to it. Is that your desire tonight? I know. You'll be a lot happier when it happens. But how many would be willing tonight to say, I believe that's the truth. And God, I believe I've got the Word, Lord. But I need this Spirit. I want to yield to Your presence. I want to feel it more. I want to be able to be in a condition where it can lead me. Actually lead me. Tell me what to do. And I can know You, God. I'm tired, God, of sitting where I'm sitting. I'm tired of being miserable, knowing that there's more and not living up to it. I'm tired of being immature. Below immature. We're not even showing these things. But tonight, by Your will, You say, God, I want what the Corinth church had. And I want to get that in order. And I know what it is. It's a closer walk with You. Is that Your desire tonight? If it is, would you just raise your hands to God? Let's give Him a little effort. And let's pray to God, if that's your desire. And let's ask God that God would come, make His Spirit known in us as we pray. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, here we are, God. You've given us love gifts, God. You've given us, oh God, these gifts, God. we shown Corinth had in an immature form, God. And here we are, Lord, the creeds and dogmas, God. We haven't been taught how to move in the Spirit, God. And Lord, we feel shame tonight, God. We feel rebuked, God, living short of what you've called us to be. But thank you, Lord, for the word of this hour. For the word of the hour in this church, God. Lord, there's no one who's excelling in these categories in this church. But God, tonight, that's why we're responding to you as sincerely as we can now. God, I want to tell you, I'm sorry. What we need is repentance, God. I say I'm sorry. I believe the church is telling you that they're sorry. And Lord, we apologize, God, because you've called us to a deep fellowship with you. And we haven't lived it. We haven't shown a desire for it. But God, maybe tonight, Lord, we're going to come before you, Lord, right now, Lord, with all our hearts. We're going to ask for a fresh walk with you. We're going to ask, God, that you'd come, Lord, and live inside of us more than you've ever lived before, God. Lord, we want, Lord, we know we'll start immature, God. But, Lord, we just want a God the way he said we could have it. So, Lord, we want to take you at your word tonight, Lord. You said we could have the Holy Ghost on this level. The Spirit could work through us. You could work through us, God. Show us what we have. Work in our lives and allow us to yield, God. So, Lord, we want to tell you right now, we repent of our wicked ways. And, Lord, we're asking now, Lord, that you'd hear our cry, hear our prayer. And, Lord, we want more of you, more than ever before, Lord. Lord, you opened our eyes tonight. Lord, you know, God, I had no thought that I was going to be laying that like that. No thought, Lord. I know it was you. And God, I ask you to forgive me, the pastor of this church, God, for not being hard enough, not being tough enough, not being willing, God, to live as high as I'm supposed to live, God. I know I see it all over the world right now, all over the message, God. But Lord, we have no excuse. And I'm willing to say, I'm sorry. I'm willing to say, I failed, God. But I know there's a God that can pick me back up. I know there's a God that can raise Living Waters Tabernacle up. I know there's a God that can make the mystical body of Jesus Christ live. God, I pray, Lord, that you come amongst your people right now. As we yield ourselves to you, as we talk to you and make a little love to you, Lord. Oh, God, give us a fresh start with you. And, Lord, start something in us that doesn't stop, but it grows to maturity. Lord, we need that right now. We cry out for it right now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Lord, release that power on all of us, God. Release that yielding, that desire to move forward. Lord, make us desperate, God. Make us lay down, God. Because, Lord, there's a willingness in here. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, God. Oh, God, Jesus, you cried out for yourself, God. We cry out the same thing tonight, Lord. We got a strong flesh, God. But, Lord, we have a spirit that is willing to die. God, take us, Lord. Take these rejects of society. Take these individuals who are, oh God, the norm, and make us more peculiar than we've ever been before. But make us the normality of heaven, Lord. We trust you'll do that now, Lord. As we believe in our prayers that we made now, we believe in our repentance. We believe, God, that, Lord, the Spirit is wooing on us right now and we're coming higher. Pray to fulfill all these desires now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we agree as a body right now as we say, amen, amen. If you need a prayer, I'd be happy to pray with you tonight. If you need just to get down and talk to God, this is not a church thing. This is an individual thing it has to start out with. Realize that you need to talk to God a little bit, you can go ahead and do that. If you realize if you just want to sing a little bit, just tell God you love him. That'll work too. Whatever you have need of. We should be led of that Spirit. Sing that song, I Need More of You.
I need more of you. That's just the way it's got to be. And I need more of you. Till there's no room left for me.
Savior of the whole world, yeah.
I give you my soul. with all my heart. And this is my desire, Lord, to honor you. And Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
Oh, my.